Well, good morning. My name is Tom Lamshed. I know some of you. and some of you know me. Some of you would know me as Little Tommy running around Fair Havens. A few, right? Some would know me as pastor of Calvary Church at Pape and Danforth. But today you know me as the regional director for the AGC East. And as regional director for the AGC East, that means at Bridletown, an audience. An audience is one of my ministry leaders. So this is an important morning for both you and for me as we give a recognition. Now, I'm not honestly sure what to call this either, to be honest with you. Normally we might call this an induction, but the truth of the matter is it was a year or so ago in reality where you inducted him on that first day into your ministry, and he inducted you into his ministry. And so really there's a real sense that that has already taken place. That was something that took place already in your life. And so I definitely would not call this an inducement. Okay, that's a for sure. Okay, maybe what we might call this time here is a recognition of Adi, as to honor him, to recognize that God has placed a calling on his life, a recognition that you have recognized him to be your pastor, and a recognition of this congregation to want to follow his leadership and to contribute to his leadership. So in many ways, that's what this is. It is a ceremony. It is a formal recognition, but that's really what is happening here as we spend these next few moments together. With me is Glenn Ryder, and Glenn is the gentleman to whom Steve referred to, and Glenn is our national doctrine and credentials coordinator. And so in that role, Glenn is responsible for making sure that our leaders are qualified and certified for ministry right across our nation. And so it's a joy then to have Glenn here with us. This is not always the case, but in this case, Glenn has been willing to come. And a little later on, we'll introduce you as well to the president of our AGC, who also is coming and sharing in a dedication prayer. And so this morning, we feel blessed to be here, and I trust you do as well, as we have a service of recognition for the ministry of Adi in your midst. And Adi has responded to your invitation to come to be your pastor. He felt that call, as you did. So here we are, just recognizing that transaction that took place in your heart and in his heart. He has been affirmed by our denomination as being doctrinally sound, ethically and morally upright, and as a person who has been called to Christian ministry. And the joy for us is that he has a long track record in serving within the AGC in those areas. And we're recognizing that today. By standing here, we are giving that recognition and that sense of authority from our denomination to the ministry of your pastor. And so So as we proceed, we're going to speak to a number of ministry topics. And I'll introduce you to that topic, and then Glenn will read the scriptures as they relate to that. I will make a comment or two, and then Pastor Adi will respond in recognition and agreement with that. So, Pastor, would you come up and join me? Come on over to this side here, if you would. And Adi, the Word of God speaks on how all gifts are important, but those with leadership gifts must take that role seriously. Hear the words of the Scripture.
For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, Let us use them. And then Paul goes on and lists a number of those gifts. But when he comes to the gift of leadership, he says this: the one who leads with zeal.
It is important that the leaders are always growing and developing in their leadership gifts. Pastor Audie, will you strive to lead with all diligence and continue to be a lifelong learner so that you can steward your leadership gifts well?
Yes, sir.
The scriptures also speak of the importance of a leader handling the word of God well.
Paul says to Timothy, a young leader, a developing leader of the first century, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And then he writes in another place, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth.
So, Adi, it is the privileges of pastor to give themselves to prayer and to the reading and the diligent study of God's word, and to teach that word effectively. So, Pastor Audie, will you give serious attention to prayerful Bible study? Will you strive to illustrate the principles in the word of God through godly living as you serve here in pastoral ministry?
Yes, I will.
The scripture speaks to the privilege of pastors that the pastors have in clearly explaining the gospel.
Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures.
It is the privilege of pastors to give themselves to the sharing of the message of the gospel according to their unique spiritual gifts, abilities, and opportunities. Pastor Audie, will you give yourself to understanding the implications of the gospel and communicate the gospel clearly?
Yes, I will.
Caring for people is important. The scripture speaks of a special shepherding relationship pastors have to their congregation.
Peter writes, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And Paul added this thought, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching.
So it is the privilege of the pastor to care for the people of God by providing God-honoring leadership, serving, nurturing, teaching, correcting, rebuking, encouraging them, giving direction to the life of the church, counseling the troubled, preaching the gospel, leading by example. Pastor Audie, will you give yourself to shepherding the people entrusted to your care?
Yes, I will.
In the AGC, we recognize two official ordinances, baptism and communion.
And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age. For I received from the Lord, writes Paul, What I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
It is the privilege of the pastor to give attention to these two ordinances of the church, which Jesus commanded and which the Bible prescribes, and so to administer the ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper. Pastor Audi, do you give yourself to the ministry of the ordinances?
Yes, I do.
A ceremony of recognition like this also includes the congregation. And I would like to address the congregation for a moment and actually ask you to stand with us. Please, if you're able to, please stand. God's word has a lot to say, much to say, about how the congregation cares for its pastor. Listen to the word of the Lord.
In the same way, the Lord commanded that those who proclaim the gospel should get their living by the gospel. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you.
It is the privilege of this congregation then to submit to the direction and ministry given by godly leadership. Will you pray for Pastor Audi, Anna, their family, and respect, love, support them? If so, answer by saying, "We will."
We will.
And you may be seated. Pastor Audi, are you prepared then with these commitments of pastor and people?
Yes, I am.
Will you support that? Will you affirm that by signing our statement of faith as it's set forth in our bylaws, and affirm your ethical and moral lifestyle in keeping with the Word of God?
Yes.
And let's do so. Both Glenn and I have signed as witnesses to this moment, and this affirmation of faith will stay with both our denomination and with your pastor, so that you can mark this moment as a special moment in the life of pastor and people. And the last thing for us to do is really to pray a prayer of anointing, of blessing, of dedication on your dear pastor. And we want to do that here today publicly. To do that, we have asked our president, Bill Allen, to offer, and he has a rich relationship with Audi, and asked and wanted to be here today. And he's going to offer dedication prayer, but what I'd love to do is ask Anna to come and join us at the front. And the elders of Bridletown Park Church, if you would just come to the front, we'll just lay hands on Pastor Audi. And then maybe there's one of our AGC pastors, by chance, that happens to be in our congregation. We'd invite you to come as well and to share with us. And we're just going to gather around Anna and Adi and share a time of prayer. And Bill Allen, will you come and do that for us? Let's gather around and lay hands on.
Let's pray together. Heavenly gracious Father, we thank you for this time of recognition, this time of affirmation, and this time of calling, this time of uniting Adi and Anna to this congregation for your work. I pray that you would bless them immensely, that you would give Adi much wisdom, that you would give him much courage to stand for the gospel and for truth, in a world that is opposed to you and your word. I pray that you would give him wisdom to navigate, to be a good shepherd, that you would give him wisdom to care for, love, and reflect the love of Jesus and all he does, that many would come to know you through his ministry and the ministry of this church. We pray that you would keep him strong, that you would keep him true to your word, that he may continue to grow as your disciple, that he might know you more each day, that he might be a good husband and a father and a shepherd to this congregation as an example and reflection of what your word teaches that we should be. Amen. And I pray that you would just encourage him each day, Lord. It's not easy to be a pastor. I pray that you would lift him up, that you would draw others around him, that we would pray for him regularly, consistently, and fervently, that you might bless his ministry here, that you might encourage him, that you might be with him in all ways. We thank you for his calling. We thank you for the affirmation of his life and the recognition of your gifting in his life for this ministry. And we ask all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
While we're all just standing here, let me give the official proclamation. It's this. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church, and on behalf of the Associated Gospel Churches, and upon the request of this congregation, I declare that you are duly certified and inducted into the ministries of Bridletown Park Church. May God bless you.
So as a celebration of this Sunday, we are having a barbecue at the North. I know an email went out the last week, and the barbecue is still on, even though the rain is here. So as many people as possible after the service can head on up to the North. Just let them know before you leave so that they know how many are coming. So just want to remind you of that.
Say what? Yes, please. Way to accept your praise, but not steal glory from God. So as much as I want and appreciate, I enjoy your words of encouragement, please do set your eyes on Christ, not on me. I'm here just to point you to him. But at the same time, I do appreciate these past 11 months. It's been 11 months today since my coming at Royaltown as the pastor. And it's been a blessed, blessed time. I've enjoyed every moment of it. Most of you guys work. You know, it's one of those jobs where it's hard to go home. I just enjoy being here and doing what I'm doing. There are days when I was like, oh man, I have to go home. But not because home is bad. Home is... Sorry, don't think that way. Home is all awesome. Home is amazing. But, anyway. And I'll just stop digging. Okay, let's pray for the word. And I'll actually ask one of the elders. Robert, would you please pray for the word of God today? Amen. Today won't be the usual type of message. It's a bit different, and I have to keep my eyes on the clock. But it's sort of like a window into my heart, a small window, not a very large one, but just enough to see. And even the songs that were chosen, I sent Elaine a list of many songs that have touched me. But as we were singing them, I was like, "Yep, that's me." And I just invite you to walk with me through a few verses of the scriptures that have really modeled, and I'm all a bit like shaped my life and who I am today. So I was my wife very much knows since we've met. I want to be a man of values and principles. I don't always succeed to live even to my own standards, but I do want to be a man known for having strong values and strong principles. And this makes me you know, in the gentle words of a friend who tried to criticize me but be gentle, she said, I am inflexible. She probably could have used more stronger language there, but yeah, I know that I can be inflexible sometimes, but also that inflexibility allows me to stand strong when the storms hit. Because in ministry, in life, as a disciple, as a Christian, as a man or woman of God, storms come. And sometimes that's how I stand strong. I look up to God and I try to stand strong to my own principles and values. And I believe that both grit and grace, to quote a book of are equally a sign of a man of God. You know, so I strive to be a strong leader, but a graceful and loving one at the same time. Not just law, but law and grace together, if I can say that. So I do believe that to stand strong and to remain steadfast and resolute is a mark of a Christian, of a disciple of Christ. And this is the word that stuck with me as I prepared by a month now for this Sunday. This one word just kept coming back to my mind. So in the end, I just went with it. So resolute. You know, if you don't know the word, has all those options or meanings, and pretty much all of them are found somewhere in the scriptures. So resolute means bold, courageous, persistent, relentless, steadfast, tenacious, uncompromising, unflinching, unshakable, unwavering, unyielding. Take all this, the good part of it, because sometimes this can be called stubbornness and it's negative, but you know what? To be unyielding, unwavering, unshakable, and unflinching and uncompromising, I want that. I want to stand strong for the truth of God and to be able to fight that fight of God. I am a soldier of Christ. You know, I see myself as a soldier of Christ, and God is my captain. I'm not a very, I kind of got more emotional the last few years, more in touch with my inner emotions, but I still am, to the core, a soldier of Christ. And I try to be as loving as I can and graceful as I can. Sometimes I may snap a bit here and there, but my old military training comes back sometimes. But in this day of celebration of what the Lord has done in my life and through this ministry, and celebrating what He's about to do, because it's only the start. You know, somebody asked me, a neighbor from next building came in and said to me, how long will you be here? And I told him, I want to retire from this church. You know, and even then I probably won't leave. I'll be around. So it's a celebration of what the Lord has done, but also what the Lord will be doing in this place. Because as you know, as we pray every single Wednesday night, we pray for God to move mightily through this church. As we prayed on January 1st, may God show His glory in this place and through this place in our city. Anyway, so on this day celebration, my heart is anchored in this call to be resolute. And may this message be today an encouragement and a challenge at the same time to all of us in a world that seems to value compromise and darkness more than integrity and light. And may we all find the power in the Almighty to be steadfast, unshakable, and courageous. And may we declare together with the psalmist, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. That's Psalms 51, verse 10. Anyway, so I'm going to tell you a story. It's my life story, obviously, and it's about my Lord. It's not much about me, but about what God has done in my life. You know, a new beginning. Many, many years ago, you know, I heard these words. The kingdom of God is at hand. I was just learning English, so the phrase at hand was kind of funny for me. So I began to search and read, was Mark chapter 1 back in the day, and just study, what does that mean? And then I followed just that saying in Mark chapter 1. I saw that it's so much more than just the kingdom of God is at hand. It was a call of Jesus to all of us that says this. I'm going to read the verses. Mark 1, 14 through 17. And they will not be on the screen, so swipe, click, or open your Bibles if you want to Mark 1. Now John was arrested, and Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fisher of men." You know, imagine these words heard by, at that time, a young man. I was 23 when I first heard these words. And my ears were still ringing with the orders of my company commander. I was still fresh out of communism. I was still trying to figure out, what does this mean? But that call brought in my heart a total transformation. You know, a change of heart and joy and peace. And even more than that came over me and overwhelmed me back in 93. You know, this phrase, "I will make you fisher of men," meant the world to me. Because in that moment, I realized I have a purpose to live for. I was telling someone this week, my whole life until that moment, I was 23, but it was just gray. Nothing, I mean, it was like no horizon, no future, no hope. I had a decent life and good life, but I was not enjoying a second of it. I went to school because my mom wanted to. I was buying clothes. My dad wanted me to. I would drink or smoke because my friends wanted me to. I didn't choose or do something because I had passion for it, except English. I learned English because I wanted to. That was one gift of God that I received many years ago. But anyway, when I heard that someone died for me, that meant for me that my life was worth something. If someone chose to die for me, when I believed that, I realized that I am worth something. And that totally changed my perspective on who I am and who God is. And even more, God said, "I will make you fisher of men." It's not like you will become, you will strive, you will do whatever. No, He will make me to be a fisher of men. I was just supposed to rest in Him and receive the transformation that He gave me. And that meant for me new hope, a lot of enthusiasm, and a purpose to live by. It was just amazing. That new beginning back in 93 was marked by these words. "Kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Follow me, and I will make you fisher of men." Just simple like that. This is not a complex sermon. I'm not going to go into deep theology. It's just the foundation blocks of our lives, my life, and not just my life, because I'm not in any way special, unless you call me special, then I could be, but this is us all. I'm just one of many disciples of Christ in this place, and I'm just opening a road, if you want. I just said, like Paul in Corinthians 11, "Follow me, for I follow Christ." Anyway, an old way. As I began to follow Christ, I began to realize who He is and just give myself to Him fully, I realized this is nothing new. It was actually, I was discovering an old way. In my life, my wife laughed at this. I don't know why, but I said, once I got serious, I started to hear voices. Okay, nobody laughed. I guess it was not funny. Anyway, God began to speak to me. You know, remember even now, it's January 12, 1999. January 12, 1999. I was on a Yahoo Messenger chat room, of all things, a Christian chat room, and I was freaked out. I was just the pastor of a brand new church. We just began about, 2 weeks, 3 weeks before that, and I knew nothing. I was clueless. I was young. Anyway, many things but brave and envisioned and whatever. No, I was none of those. And I was praying and asked people to pray for me over the internet. And as we were praying, God spoke to me. And I say that I do not say this lightly, because I don't hear voices, you know, in that way. But God does speak to me. And that one time, it was so obvious to my heart that this is from the Lord that has really changed my life. Again, one more step. And that passage is, as we see on the screen, Ephesians 4, verses 11 and 12. Glenn might say I should probably know them by heart, but I learned to not trust my memory and trust the Word of God as it is written. So, Ephesians 4, 10 and, actually 11 and 12. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. And that was the verse that truly changed the way I see myself in the work of Christ. My job, my role, my goal is to equip the saints for the work of ministry. That's why God called me. It's not that I should be somebody, or I should, you know, I do, you know, I'm on a, what, three steps above the average. Sounds even. I stand up here, but not because I'm somebody or because I do ministry or I'm a minister. I'm a minister, you know, officially, but it's because I want to see you doing ministry. And as we've talked in the last year, you know, I've told you, my role is to encourage and equip you. And yeah, I'm easily drawn into, let me do it because I can do it faster or better. I can do that, and I try not to. I told the elders, I've asked humbly the elders to pull my sleeve and ask me to not commit to anything else but prayer, preaching, and discipling. Because I tend to. Because I like to do things. I like to start things, to get involved, to see ministry starting up and stuff. But then if I don't pray, if I don't teach, if I don't disciple, how can I truly be equipping the saints for the work of ministry? So anyway, that is the call of God that God gave me back in 1998, 99, and it has impacted me, and that's how I chose to remain into ministry and be a pastor. But as I began to do this is fresh from the conference, but it's not from the conference, because it's been in my heart for a long, long time before the conference of AGC. Serving God is both an amazing joy and a great challenge. I give, and sometimes it's. I think the word in English is taxing. It just, some days I come home and I'm like a towel who's been, or like a lemon who's been squeezed. And it's not because that's bad, but it's that because I feel, you know, like it or not, I am an introvert. It may come as a surprise for some of you, but I am truly an introvert. I like my quiet time. I can enjoy a 10-hour drive with not saying a word. My wife knows that, and I'm not upset when we drive 6 hours and I don't speak. I just, if you ask questions, I respond. But anyway, so doing ministry is exhilarating, but it's taking the strength out of me. And I've done this, and sometimes I just ran out of steam, and I forgot to abide in Christ. Let me read the words of Christ in John 15, in case you don't know them. But I'll just go quickly the verses 1 through, actually just put me just verse 5. Where's John? Okay. Verse 4 of John 15. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. So I learned pretty early in the ministry that if you serve God but you don't abide in God, things go wrong. I lose patience, I lose that kindness. My wife prayed for me, how many years, to become gentle and to be kind. And usually when I serve in, you know, the phrase is in churchish, when I serve in the flesh, I kind of end up doing that. But I learned to abide in Christ. And I learned that it doesn't take too much for me to serve. Sorry, it didn't take long for me to realize that to serve and serve well, more than just my own strength was needed. And the Word, again, was the fount of truth and hope for me when I learned that I need to abide in Christ. So to you all, your call is to serve Christ. But don't even imagine for a second that your gifts or your strength is enough. Mine were not enough to sustain that ministry. I need to abide in Christ. And then as I abide in him, things happen. You know, it's not by lots of effort, but it's a lot of dependence upon God that things actually happen. When fruit comes, it comes because we are in the vine. We are with him. So I had learned how awesome is the new beginning. I learned also that this is just an old way that I discover with my Lord. And I've realized I have an unchanging God who beckons me to come and rest in Him. Like in Matthew chapter 11, 29 and 30, when it says that I should go to Him if I'm weary and heavy laden, and He will give me rest. And I enjoy that rest. Most of the days, I enjoy that rest. Not every day. Sometimes I forget. My wife says that my greatest problem is my strength. Oh, no, sorry. My greatest weakness is my strength. Because I assume some days I have enough strength to pull it through, and I forget to abide. So take your pills and never forget to abide in God. That was a joke. Anyway, many, many years ago, I did a study in Luke, and there was a sinful lady, a woman, whom Christ told these words, "Go and sin no more. Your sins are forgiven." And back then I called it, that was music from heavens. That was music to my ears. Well, going back to, I'm not going to go to that passage today, actually. You know, I learned that as I served, my heart had to commit to Christ, to stay fixed on Christ. The passage is not actually 20, actually one I'm starting with. It's Colossians, I know by heart actually, Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2. They say, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated. Set your eyes, set your eyes on things above, you know. Ministry is about setting your eyes on Christ, not on a man, not on a church even, but on the Lord. And what I truly expect to hear from God is these words: welcome home, good and faithful servant. It's out of Matthew 25. It's at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, and lots of things in that chapter, 25th chapter, but this very passage just says this. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." You know, that is, for me, music to my ears. Well done, good and faithful servant. And I know I'm not. I wish I were a more faithful servant. I wish I were good to God, if I can say that. I know I fail. I'm sinful. I have my good days and my not so good days. But that is what I'm striving for. My eyes and my heart are set on that one verse, Matthew 25, 21. Well done, good and faithful servant. That is what I want to hear. I do not serve this church to please you. And say it again. I don't serve here as a pastor to please you. Although I do hope I'm an example of grace, sacrificial love, and servant leadership to you all, I serve Jesus. And I aim to please Him more than anything else. And I love His applause more than yours. I do enjoy when you praise me. Don't stop doing that. I do enjoy your encouragement, and when you come to me and say, that was whatever. But you know what? That's addictive in a bad way. I pray that my heart will not be addicted to your praises, but to God's. It's funny to say this, but I want you to know that that is where I stand. I will not strive to please a man and risk to make God sad because of that choice. So I may have to say words that are harsh, not harsh, but how would I say, stern, challenging. You may not like them, but I will still do it because I want to please God. And that is the music to my ears, to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, because you served me above anything else. The saddest verse to me, actually a couple of sad verses, but the one that actually really pains me is in John 12, from 41 and 42 and on, where God says, the Bible says there that many of the leaders of the synagogue believed in Him, in Christ, but they did not confess Him or testify about Him because they were afraid of the leaders of the synagogue. They were afraid to not be kicked out of the synagogue. And they said, it says there, because they loved the praises of men more than the praises of God. And that's nothing that I pray that you pray for me too, that will never be there. I'll always love God more than I love your praises. Although, I do enjoy your praises. Anyway. But oh, the storms. The second song we sang today, that old hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul," as well as the other one that we sang, "Still, Be Still My," whatever, "Still," it's called, "Oceans," whatever. Those are straight out of my heart. As much as that new beginning was marked by, I have decided to follow Jesus, and I'm not turning back. The same way I know that storms will come. At life, I'd say that I've never been broken, defeated, or cried my heart out before God. It has happened and probably will happen again. Storms come because of my own sinfulness, first of all. I'm my own worst enemy. I make my life difficult most of the days. Not you, just me. Because I'm human and I'm sinful. And that's one of the storms of life. I have to go back to God and pray for forgiveness. And I so much enjoy that His grace covers me. I so much enjoy that His hand that was nailed to the tree allows me today to stand strong despite the fact that I may sin again. So that's one storm. Another storm is just like the one that comes. If you know, you know the parable of the sower, when Christ speaks about four types of soil, the one that was had no fruit because it was just dry by the side of the road, like my lawn today. The other one was on a very thin layer of soil and just died when the sun came and burned it. The other one was the third type of soil. It said that it actually had good roots, but was amongst thorns. Bad, you know, just like my lawn. It's full of, I have grass in my lawn. If you need a magnifying glass, you can see the grass. But it's a lot of other green plants, but not much grass. Anyway, that's so, you know, Jesus says in Mark chapter 4, if you open up your Bibles sometimes, if not, just take notes and read at home. It says that the things that choked the fruitfulness from that plant was this: the cares, the riches, and other things were that made the word unfruitful in that plant. Cares, riches, and the passion or desire for other things. And sometimes, you know, that's a storm in our life. When we get too anxious. And I tend to be anxious. My dad was suffering from panic attacks and anxiety. I kind of have it too sometimes. My daughter has it. My son is chill. I like that. but you know what? I have to pray hard some days that I put my fears before God. Be anxious about nothing, but in all, be thankful to God. First Peter 5. Give all your anxieties to God because He cares for you. I have to actually remind myself that truth because sometimes that makes me unfruitful. So pray that I have always strong faith in my Lord and just put my faith in Him. And then I know different kind of storms, not just my sins, not just my anxiety or whatever, or the passion for things, but you know what? There actually is a word in the scripture that says, all those who choose to live a life of godliness shall be blessed, shall given extra pay, shall, no. It says, Second Timothy 3:12, all those who choose to live a life of godliness shall be persecuted. That's part of life. It's a promise. John 16:33, promise never claimed by anyone. You know, not no one names and claims John 16:33. In the world, you shall have tribulations. It's in the Bible. It's a promise. That is a promise. In the world, I will have tribulations, and you will too. But don't forget the other part. I like King James here. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Yes, storms come. Whether it's my sinfulness, my cares, my anxiety, my being persecuted because I stand strong from the Lord. Yes, storms will come. But the Lord is there. Matthew 28, at the end of the Bible, the book. And lo, I am with you always. He's never left me, ever. And I'm strong with Him, and I can stay strong in Him because He's always with me, despite any storm may come against me. And that is this where this word comes strong in place, resolute. I first learned of this word as a biblical word from a very good friend, a mentor of mine, Lou Warad. He was preaching, and I was doing translation for him out of the book of Luke. And he mentioned a verse that I never read like that in Romanian back in the day, but in English it sounded differently, and it just stuck with me. And the verse is Luke 9:51. It's on the screen. Sorry, the reference is on the screen. And it says here, "When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem." That's ESV, my translation today. But in another translation, it said, "When the days came, he turned his face resolutely towards Jerusalem." He knew where he was going. He knew what was waiting for him in Jerusalem. He told Peter, "I will be beaten, mocked, and killed." So he knew exactly where he was heading. He was going to Jerusalem to suffer and to die carrying our sins, to die for us. He knew exactly the weight of what was going to happen and still chose to do it. And he chose it resolutely, not wavering, not shaking, not, no, he chose it with resolute commitment. And that's, you know, that was the one verse I ever actually stuck on my wall at home back in Romania above my monitor screen from the computer. It was this verse, Luke 9:51. He turned his face resolutely towards Jerusalem because I want that. You know why? Because we're like water. We tend to go the way of the minimum resistance. You know, engineers, you probably correct me here, but I don't think I'm wrong. We tend to be like water, to just run away from opposition, you know, just to stay where it's calmer and quieter and just enjoy not fighting too much. But we are soldiers for Christ. And we sometimes have to choose things that may bring us to difficult times and put us through times that are not easy, but still we must choose that resolute conviction. You know what? That is not something that's born into you. It's not something that we all have. Actually, I think very few of us have this. And this is why David prayed those words in Psalm 51, verse 10. "Create in me a new heart, O Lord, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." Psalm 51, 10. And that's my prayer for myself and for all of you here present, and not just for you, that my heart would be steadfast, and so would yours, that I remain resolute despite any and every storm that may come my way. Let's make this personal. Because I spoke a lot about me and what I think and what I do, how I read these words. But you know what? We have, and you have, the same call from God. Can be Afros, can be, what's your name? Alex. Sorry. Sorry. You matter. I know you're hurt. I'll buy you an ice cream. We have the same call. We have the same way, the old way of Christ. We have the same Lord. It's not just for the pastor, you know. It's for all of us. I'm just one like you. I'm leading a way. I'm calling you to follow me because I tried my best to follow Christ. And I want to go on this path together with you because you need to follow Christ, not me. You need to follow Christ. And I need to point you to the Lord. You need to serve. You need to serve Christ, not because you have to, but because you just want to give back to God. I was reading last night devotional, I guess, from a pastor in the States, John Piper. He said, "Woe to the pastor who calls the church to come to church to just give, not to receive." I want you to receive every single Sunday, every single time I see you, prayer time, Sunday morning, every time I meet you, I want you to receive. Because as I give to you from the Lord, I pray that you start to give others for the Lord. Your call is to follow him, to serve him, and yes, to abide in him. As Christians, as disciples of Christ, you must learn to abide in Christ. And I told the fathers last week, it's simple. Was it last week? Recently. It's simple. Just one verse a day. one page a day, one step at a time, one person at a time. Learn to follow, learn to serve, learn to abide, and learn to receive. You know, I pray that you yearn for those words of Christ. Well done, good and faithful servant. Now come and receive what I have saved for you. That's for you, not just for me. That's for me and for you together. And in the end, be resolute, because storms come. I would lie to you if I would tell you you'll be blessed, rich, and healthy all your life as Christians. I wish I were. But I know that's not the truth. Storms come. Money goes. You know, health goes. Friends, sometimes even them, they go away. You know, will you stay strong for the Lord, even if storms come in your way? You know, this is not a walk in the park. Second Timothy, the book of Paul said there that as disciples, we are like soldiers fighting for the Lord. We're like athletes training and running for the prize. We're like farmers toiling for the harvest. This is not a walk in the park. But with the Lord, it's easy. It's easy. I'm gonna say, that's easy. It's not easy. With the Lord, we can do it because His strength is the one that makes us able to do all these things. Is something stopping you from being resolute? That's a question that's very personal. And I hope you don't answer to that question. Is something stopping you, not answer to me out loud right now, answer to yourselves. Is there something you need to repent of? A compromise, a sin, a hidden thing that only you know about that stops you from being resolute? Is something that needs to change in your life? Your habits, where you put your time or your money, the way you speak, or I don't know, does something need to be changed? Your friends, your circle of friends that stops you from being resolute? I don't know. There's something that you need to obey. Did God speak to you and you just didn't obey Him? May all this speak to your heart and learn today to follow, to serve, to abide, to receive. Despite the storms, to be resolute. Before God, resolute. And the key word is obedience. Obey God with all your heart. Before people, resolute. Serve and love. Love and serve together. Not just one, not just the other, both of them. Love and serve people. And also resolute in your mission. Invest your life in what matters. Make disciples. You can be 91, 93, you can be 7. You can still, at any age, make disciples. Be resolute in your mission. Now, I'll end this with this question. How do you want to be remembered? How do you want to be remembered? I made a phone call yesterday to Romania, and I spoke with, it was my 30th high school graduation anniversary, and all my colleagues were together in Bucharest with some of the teachers who were still alive. And a lady, a kid, a girl that was one of my classmates, wanted to speak with me on the phone because she could not believe that I'm a pastor. She just thought, no way, he's lying. He's not a pastor. So she could not believe. So, because she has a different memory of me. You know, the Adi 30 years ago was slightly different. Imagine this minus 70 pounds. That's one of the things. And lots of hair. But anyway, this minus 70 pounds. I was like this. Anyway, how will people remember you? Will they remember that you were, I don't know, just put your things. You know, a very wise Mormon said once, ask your spouse, ask your child, and ask your co-worker to tell you the truth about yourself. What will they say? How will they remember you? I want to be known as a man of God, resolute in his commitment to love God, to love people, and to do my job well. And to hear one day those words, welcome home, good and faithful servant. Let's pray. Father, today we celebrate you and your work and your ministry and your changing of our hearts. Mine, yes. And I thank you for all you have done in me, Lord, from the day when I met you first and I heard your call to follow you and to repent and to believe the gospel until today when I still hear the same call to follow you and to believe and to be changed to a fisher of men. Father, we celebrate you, and we ask that you change our hearts, and truly, as David prayed one day, restore in us a steadfast spirit. As we follow you, Lord, I pray that you change our hearts and set our eyes upon you, Lord, and allow us to live a life in victory, not because of who we are, but because of who you are. Make us resolute, make us steadfast into our mission to love you, to love people, and to do our job for you, Lord. In your Son's precious name we pray. Amen.